What do I have to do next? I'm confused.
You can talk to him in the hall.
You won.
You won, yep.
Thank you very
much. I'll send you a letter also. You should probably get it next week.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Case number 421-505.
So that has a Republican.
This is a Republican case. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Counsel, for issuing authority, we'll start with your introduction of yourself and your witness.
Good morning. My name is Colin Nolan. I'm the staff attorney of the Department of Emergency Services, Public Protection, representing the issuing authority today. My witness is Sergeant Martina Jacober.
That is J-A-K-O-B-E-R. I can see that from here.
Right.
All right. Counsel, can you please identify yourself for the record?
Good morning. Attorney Glenn Conway on behalf of the appellant. Just seated to my right.
Thank you, Attorney Conway. Attorney Milne, would you like to make an opening statement?
Good morning. We're here today because the appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds following contact with Guilford Police Department in November of 2020. Today we intend to show that on November 7th, 2020, Guilford PD were dispatched to a residence due to a complaint that the appellant was heavily intoxicated and making statements of self-harm. The appellant was found to be heavily intoxicated and was subsequently transported to a hospital for evaluation due to his emotional state. A risk warrant was applied for and granted in this matter. The residents of the house were very concerned for both their safety as well as the safety of the appellant. A subsequent search of the appellant's room for the firearms subject to the risk warrant contained a significant prescription medication that is contraindicated not to be taken with alcohol. Therefore, the issuing authority still has concerns about the overall suitability of this appellant to hold their pistol permit.
Thank you, Counsel. Attorney Conway, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. The appellant's a lifelong gun owner. He made some comments, the record will show he made some comments in November of 2020 and led to his arrest. The evidence will show that during that period of time, there was significant amount of stressors that he was dealing with between business, COVID lockdown, and some marital issues and problems with his son. No guns were implicated in this offense, in this claim. They were all secured within his house at the time the law enforcement came there. And in fact, he was cooperative and provided keys to the gun safe so they could retrieve the weapons. He's been sober 2.5 years. This happened in November of 2020 and in December. 2020. He's been sober ever since. He's counseled. I have proof of that. I think he's been submitted the preliminary matter. I know there's one that the board did not get. And I apologize. I was on the road for 16 and a half hours yesterday driving to get here. I thought my client had sent it. So I don't know how the members of the board would like to deal with that. So it has to do with his initial counseling and ongoing treatment. And to date, all firearms have been returned. And he and his family now actually have a very loving and healthy relationship. He's done a great deal of work on himself, showed a great deal of insight.
Okay. Thank you, Counsel. Attorney Milne, you may proceed.
Just as a threshold, should we address the evidentiary issue?
It's been tough doing it from North Carolina.
Normally, we need that 10 days in advance so we can read packets before. What's that?
It's a short letter.
Short letter. Do you have an objection?
I'm going to object. This is an unsigned document. There's just no real reliability of kind of authenticity of this document. There's no letterhead. There's no signature. There are countless spelling errors throughout the document, including the opponent's name is spelled wrong. In this, I don't know the reliability of this document.
Okay. Just based on the 10-day rule, I'm going to sustain the objection. We won't consider the letter. You can proceed with your case.
Thank you. Okay, Sergeant, can you just state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. It's Martina Jacober. It's M A
J-A-K-I-N-A, last of Jacober, J-A-K-O-B-E-R.
And what is your current town of employment?
Guilford.
And what is your current job title?
I'm a patrol sergeant.
Can you describe your specific job duties?
I respond to routine calls, emergency calls throughout the shift. I work multiple shifts throughout the week.
Were you on duty on November 7th, 2020?
Yes.
Do you recall having contact with the appellant that afternoon?
Yes.
How was it that you came into contact with the appellant that afternoon?
We were called to the house in regards to an argument that he was having with his son, and I think it stemmed from lack of doing chores, and...
I'm going to just stop you right there.
Sure.
Okay. So when you, were you the first on scene?
I believe I was the first on scene, first or second.
Okay.
I can't officially recall exactly when I showed up.
Okay. What did you observe when you arrived on scene?
Initially, I talked to the son and his friend that was present, and then after speaking with him, I went and spoke with Mr. Fugel.
Remember, it's the appellant, sorry.
Can you speak up?
Oh, the appellant, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So you spoke to the appellant's son first?
Correct.
Okay. Generally describe, what did he say to you?
He said he was very upset. He wanted to go. He said that his father was very intoxicated. He just needed to get some things. The father was throwing all of the things out of the house. The friend that was there also indicated the same thing, and then they talked about how he had been threatening to harm himself. With the comment was that I'll show you depressed, I have a loaded firearm, or something along those lines.
Were there any other specific threats made? Or, sorry, withdrawn. Did the appellant's son relate to you any other threats?
Initially, he said that he threatened to push him off the balcony, but later the son recanted that.
Okay. Can you describe the general state of the appellant's son?
He was very upset. He was afraid of his father, afraid of his mental state and his level of intoxication, what alcohol he was on and medications he was on.
And what time of day was this?
To be honest, I think it was early evening hours. I don't remember the time before.
Do you remember the specific chores that were the...
It was a pool, so it was closing the pool, I think, was the big issue. I have something to do with that.
Okay. Did you speak to the appellant?
Yes.
Can you describe the appellant's condition for the board?
He was extremely intoxicated, having trouble standing, very, very emotional, one minute very calm, one minute crying, one minute very angry, clenching fists, and then just through the emotions regularly throughout the process.
What did he say in terms of how much alcohol he consumed that day?
I think he went back and forth between saying he hadn't drank at all to having a couple, and it's not a crime to drink at home.
Did you speak with anybody else in the house?
I did. I spoke with his wife, and she was very upset at his level of intoxication as well.
And then what other concerns did she raise?
She raised safety concerns for herself and anyone else in the household, that the substance abuse issues had been prolonged through their marriage. They were getting progressively worse, and she feared for the safety of herself and the children in the house, especially in these moments of severe binge drinking.
Did you take any other steps that night with regards to the appellant?
Yeah, so based on the comments that were made and his behavior. We were very concerned about him harming himself, so he was sent to the hospital on the PEER form.
Can you just explain the PEER form?
So it is a form which we feel, if we as police officers feel somebody is a danger to themselves or others, we then list the items that are categorized on that form to say why we believe they are, whether it's a danger to himself, others, or greatly disabled. Those are the other topics. So we felt that he met that criteria and was then sent to the hospital.
Okay. To your knowledge, was a risk warrant applied for?
Yes, at a later date. We initially, his wife really did not want the weapons in the house. She felt that there was a significant issue with them. She asked us to take them. We did seize them and then applied for the risk warrant and served it on the station evidence room because that's where they all were at that point.
Where did you search for the firearms?
They were in his room.
Were you able to find any firearms in the room?
Yes.
Where were the firearms located?
There were firearms open in the closet area and around the room, and then firearms in, I believe it was two safes, the handguns.
Did you find anything else in the room?
An ample amount of medications.
Do you know what the medications were?
Without reviewing the report, I couldn't tell you. I know that they were for mental health and mood stabilizers and anxiety.
I would object if she doesn't know what they were. How did she say what they were for?
I mean, they were in the report.
Would a report help refresh your memory?
Yes.
It's in the record, I believe. I remember looking at it, but if you want to look at it, go ahead.
Do you have the report? I'm just going to look. Okay. So this is page 4 of 6 of the incident report of case number. Thank you. 200003856. It is the bottom paragraph, and it's the last sentence of the paragraph. You can read the medications that were just from here.
So. The prescriptions included Tramadol, HCL 50, Lonzapam, Prazolam, Sertraline, and Duloxetine.
Dr. Conrad is here, so don't worry.
Tramadol, Clonazepam, Alprazolam, Sertraline, and Duloxetine.
Oh, thank you, yes.
I think we can take both of those are significant.
One is Tramadol is for pain, Clonazepam and Alprazolam are in the same family. They're benzodiazepines, same family as Valium. Sertraline and Duloxetine are in the same class as antidepressants.
Now, so you filed, he was, is there anything else from that night that you remember that you think you'd want to share with the board? That night in particular?
I just know that night I was just very, very concerned for his well-being and his family's well-being. And in my 24 years of experience, I believe that, he's suffering with some overuse of that alcohol and possibly mixed with the medications. He was not sound that night.
Now, did you have any contact with the appellant in the following days?
Yeah, so the next day we had a phone conversation about the firearms that we had them. He had called to ask to get them back. And I advised that we had applied for the risk warrant and that he wouldn't be getting it back. At the time when I did speak with him, he was very intoxicated over the phone. I've known him sober and intoxicated, and I could tell based on my conversations from prior experience that he was not sober at the time we spoke on the phone. So I advised him that we would talk again when he was sober and I could discuss it further with him.
Did you?
I believe later on he ended up speaking with Officer Peckham at the time.
Okay. Is the appellant's residence well known to Guilford?
Yes.
Have there been multiple incidents at that house?
Yes.
Have you responded to those incidents?
Yes.
Can you describe the nature of some of those incidents?
The majority of them have been what we consider family violence cases, where there is a domestic issue at the house. Some of them have involved the appellant, and involving his behavior, and some have been involving his children's behavior. So.
Specifically about the appellant's behavior, what type of conduct has occurred?
Similar to this particular case, intoxication and not acting rational, yelling, throwing things, general anger.
Is there anything else you want the board to know about your interactions with the appellant?
I mean, again, it's been this type of, just like this case that we're here on. My concern is abuse of alcohol with medications being a big issue in relation to owning firearms. And I think it has to be considered as determining whether somebody's ready for that responsibility.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you. Attorney Conway, would you like to cross?
Yes, please. So the incidents prior to November 7th, 2020, did any of them involve claims of suicidal ideation on the part of the appellant?
I believe one did. Those are a book record.
Did you seize any firearms based on that claim on that date?
No. It wasn't referenced. This particular incident that we had that date was referenced a firearm.
Which date?
The current date we're here on the 7th. The prior one was not referenced that. It was, I'll drink myself to death and things like that. It wasn't referenced the firearm. This one in particular, the claim was that it was referenced a firearm, so that elevated that concern.
So you're testifying that you responded on a prior occasion to suicidal ideation that someone may, that appellant may drink himself to death. Did you have him committed or for evaluation based on that alleged claim?
So I was not on that particular call. That's based on what the report indicates. I do not believe he was.
That report's not in evidence, correct?
You asked me about prior incidences, so I didn't.
Let me try it again. So with regard to this claim, your testimony of a prior incident involving suicidal ideation, you have no personal knowledge of that?
I was not on that call.
So I would move to strike any testimony with regard to that claim. I was under the impression when she was testifying earlier about her earlier experience with the household that this was work of the basis of knowledge. Now knowing that it was not personal, not based on personal information, personal knowledge, excuse me, I move to strike that portion of the testimony.
Attorney Mill, what's your position on that?
I think she can rely on the other observations of the police department being able to recognize just that the fact is we're all really offering it, not necessarily for the truth of what happened, but that there were other incidents in the town.
So, Sergeant, you're saying you reviewed those reports?
Yeah. So we review reports every day. So when we come into our shift, we review the prior reports from the days before so that everybody in the agency is aware. So we have a little briefing, mm-hmm. and we cover those reports. So, yes, I'm aware of all of those reports. I talk regularly. The officer that responded to that particular incident works on my shift. So I trust his evaluation of the events.
So you saw specifically the report that you were testifying to where there was a suicidal ideation involving alcohol but not guns?
Correct.
Okay. The motion to strike is overruled.
Just if I may just perfect the record.
You may.
It's all hearsay, number one. Primarily it's hearsay. I can't cross-examine this witness on what she's claiming happened on a prior incident. So on that basis, I just maintain my objection.
Okay, it's overruled.
And on these claims of prior incidents, was the appellant ever arrested? And on these claims of prior domestic violence by the appellant, was he ever arrested?
No.
And when you seized the firearms on or about the date of November 7th, 2020, I think it was on that date, correct? And that was at the request of the appellant's wife. The appellant provided you with keys to the safes that you could get the weapons out of there?
Ultimately, yes. Not initially.
And ultimately, within the last year, you're aware that all these firearms were returned to the appellant?
I'm not the evidence lieutenant, so I wouldn't have any knowledge of that.
And how many times since November 7th, 2020, have you been to the appellant's house for a call, a dispatch?
I believe there have been others. I can't recall without reviewing my records.
Let me try it again. I'm asking you, how many times have you been to the appellant's house since the date that you were there on November 7th, 2020?
I can't tell you that number accurately without looking at the response records.
So are you saying that you have been there since then?
I know that officers have been there.
So
I can't tell you how many I have been.
You have not been there.
What I can tell you is without reviewing the department records, I wouldn't need to know exactly because I've been there multiple times and I can't tell you if it was after that date.
And the reason for seizing the appellant's firearms was for the claim of suicidal ideation, correct?
Correct. With the anticipation of a firearm being
Understood. No further questions.
Does the board have any questions?
I do. Was there a family a protective order in place? I thought I saw something about a January 21, 2021 protective order. Was there a protective order in place at the time of the application?
I believe that there was. It was due to the risk warrant. I don't believe there was a restraint.
It was just in the interim. Can you explain that to me, please?
I'm looking. I don't believe I have a. I only have the seizure warrant on the. So I have no record of that. It might have been an order to stay by the show.
Yep. If I may, along those lines, I thought in the package it said on December 13th of 2020, the appellant was arrested on a disorderly conduct charge and a protective order was issued.
If it was, those cases were not.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Chief?
The appellant was sent on an emergency committal to the hospital. He was suicidal ideations and because of his intoxication. Exactly. Did you say that then the next day he called the PD drunk? So after having been in the hospital for being drunk, the next day he was drinking again?
Sure.
Thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, Attorney Milne, any other witnesses?
No other witnesses.
And did you have any rebuttal?
No.
Okay. Attorney Conway, you may proceed.
I would call the appellant as a witness.
Okay.
What happened on November 7th, 2020? Describe this.
Long day of work turned into me having some cocktails, got into an argument with my eldest son. I have four children, 21, two twins, 19 and 19, and a 17-year-old. Got into, I'm self-employed. I have a business with 15 employees, and had a long day where not only one, but all four of the children don't work as hard as I do, and got upset and said some things that I shouldn't have.
You stop for a second. Let's talk about, I want to ask you some questions about leading up to that day. So the atmosphere of the house, was everyone in the household, you and your children, were you all getting along?
Yes.
Up to that point?
Yes.
Were there any issues with your kids doing chores around the house?
There always are.
At that point in time, did one of your kids get a dog?
My son in question, Tyler, yes, he just got a Siberian Husky, which is a very difficult dog breed. And it destroyed a $5,000 couch, it ate up all of the furniture in the kitchen, and it chewed everything. I just put hardwood floors in the house a week ago, because it goes to the bathroom in the house religiously, but yeah, so.
Whose job was it to clean up the accidents that the dog had?
His, but it never happened, to this day. It still doesn't happen.
So to who did that job fall to? How did you feel around that time about, for lack of a better phrase, the division of labor? Who was doing all the work around the house in your mind at that point in time?
I do all the work around the house, and I still do. My wife hasn't been employed, not that it's an issue, but she hasn't been employed since we had our children. We had four kids, essentially, in diapers, so she didn't work. But the last 10 years, I've been trying to get her to go back to work, and this particular son in question, I just got him his license. He's just turned 21 in December, and he doesn't have his license. I just got him his license. I'm getting him a car. I'm getting him on track to get his GED, and I'm getting him on track to get a job. He's just starting to go out to the gym.
Let me ask you this, maybe that's sort of a larger question. Was resentment building you with regard to the burdens in your mind that were placed on you at that point in time?
Absolutely.
Did you have resentment towards?
Everyone, yes.
Okay.
I worked forever extremely hard.
And let's make sure that the board understands and set the record straight. Did you say anything that could be explicitly or implicitly construed as a suicidal comment?
I say a lot of stupid things. I've said a lot of stupid things. For example, swearing is one of them. I have a bad habit of swearing, even as a business owner. One of the things that I grew up with were, besides other words you're not allowed to use these days, but saying stuff like, I should just jump out a window, or I'm going to kill myself, or I'm going to kill that guy. All just kind of flows off the tongue, right or wrong.
Is it your testimony that it's kind of like being stuck in traffic and going, oh my gosh, just kill me now?
Yes, sir. Or I'm going to jump off a bridge, or any of those stupid things that have become much more sensitive.
You were hospitalized? I'm sorry. That's
a problem.
You were hospitalized based on the sequence of events that day?
That's correct.
And when were you released?
I was released the next morning, and I have the medical report. I'm not sure. Between you being in North Carolina and me trying to get the paperwork from Dr. Hinckley last night, I do have the medical report. The medical report does state and show that all of the medications that I was accused of, that I have legal prescriptions for, there was nothing in my system.
Let me ask you a different way. Had you taken any of those medications that are in the record now, any close in time to the November 7th?
No, several.
2020?
Lazepam, the Xanax I take for anxiety on occasion, not on a regular basis. The tramadol was actually empty, and that's for my hip. So 9 weeks ago, I just had my right hip replaced. I've had extreme arthritis, so I've been in pain for the last 26 years of my life, and I'm having my left hip replaced next Wednesday as well.
And you're testifying that that there was nothing in your system.
Correct. And my blood test from the hospital says there's zero in my bloodstream.
So there was mention of an arrest, I believe, on December 13th, about a month later.
Yes.
And you were arrested.
I was, yes.
Disorderly conduct.
Disorderly conduct. Yes.
And. Again, to describe the sequence of events, I think the board's going to inquire in-house. You should probably tell them what
Sure, same type of a thing. Hard work, frustration. Even with everything that had happened 3 weeks ago, nothing had ever transpired. And I had been taking therapy. My wife suffers from chronic Lyme disease. We haven't kissed or had intercourse in 10 years, and that's because she thinks that you can pass Lyme disease through your saliva and your body fluids. So, in that regard, I'm a lonely person as well. But not to digress, but to go back to, what happened that particular day, it's more of the same. It's more frustration, lack of. And my wife is always kind of like, oh, let dad do it. So when you have four able-bodied children in the house, not doing anything, and go ahead.
Well, no, I just want to
get back on track. Thank you.
When you got arrested on December 13th, there was a protective order did issue.
Correct.
But you were allowed to stay in the house, correct?
That's correct. And literally, it was kind of a bump to bump. My son Tyler and I going back and forth. And even he admits the next day, that night, the next day when I got back home, when I was allowed to go back home, literally we hugged that morning. I believe I called you that day. I don't believe I called the police department intoxicated the next day checking on my guns, but, if that was a recorded phone call, I'd like to hear it, but.
Let me stop you for a second. So, you mentioned earlier that really nothing has changed with regard to the chores and the issues with your wife and all the things that you mentioned, but yet you're still in the house.
I am, sir.
Your relationships with those family members was not great during that period of time?
A little cantankerous, but.
Well, what I'm getting at is, you're still in the house now. Is there been a significant change in how you all interact with one another?
Yeah, well, part of several of the things, including that arrest after 3 weeks after I went to the hospital. Since me bumping chests with my son and getting the disorderly conduct, 2 weeks later on Christmas Day, I taught my son how to drive my stick Jeep CJ, and that particular day is the day him and I had a conversation and I quit. So I quit drinking December, Christmas Day 2020. And since that time, I've had my right hip replaced. I've lost 55 pounds. I got my hunting license 8 months ago.
What did you have to do? Was there anything special you had to do to get your hunting license?
No, take the course.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. What's the course?
It's a 8-hour course followed by multiple, written tests to obtain the hunting license. And I did that about 6 or 8 months ago.
So just to summarize, with regard to when you quit drinking on Christmas Day 2020, did you get any counseling for Dr. Hinckley?
I have, yes. I've been in counseling. I was in counseling because of the Lyme disease. Sorry, I got off track a little bit. I've been in counseling because of the Lyme disease sadness that I've been facing with my wife, trying to just hold my marriage together. Dr. Hinckley and I were discussing that, and it went on and went over to the
outcome. Right, just so we're clear, it started based on the claims, well, the marital problems and the claims of suicidal ideation, and then the issue of the alcohol, because it was sort of interwoven, that then became part of your treatment?
Yes.
Is AA part of your ongoing recovery?
It is, yes.
Sober counseling?
Sober counseling, Dr. Hinckley, yes.
Okay. So if everything's the same in terms of the who's doing what in your household, how do you account for the fact that there's no alcohol? In fact, if everyone's getting along out, is it because, well, how do you account for that now? Is it the sobriety? Is it coping strategies? It seems like things are much better, even though things are the same.
Can you rephrase what the witness testified to?
It's several factors, I would say. Change of lifestyle. I miss, as time progressed with losing my pistol permit, I'm an avid shooter. I have several firearms that were given to me by my father. National Match 22 and a 1968 government issue Colt 45, and I haven't been able to shoot it in 3 years, and that makes me very sad. So, I mean, this has changed my life in several ways. And obviously, this is not an environment that I wanted to be in, but this has taught me a tremendous amount. And this has been a financial burden, but at the same time, I lost 3 years of sportsmanship and, you know, shooting with my children. I do avidly shoot with them. But at the same time, I've learned a lot, too. You know, I'm healthier. I'm happier. I'm getting my life on track to whether or not my wife is going to be part of it or not. That's to be seen, because in 2.5 years that I've been sober, I've changed and she hasn't. Still doesn't have a job. You know, I'm working on the children. But, so again, I'm sorry. I might be skipping around a lot, but a lot going on.
I may have a moment. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what I'm trying to understand is, and I don't mean to leave, but I was doing my very best to ask it.
Okay.
If everything's the same, why are there no problems now within the household? What do you attribute that to?
Fair. I just asked that the appellant testify from memory. I just saw him looking at the document.
Yeah, I don't think he said there were no problems.
Well, there's several problems. It's just I have a different way of coping. So Dr. Hinkle,
I didn't want to leave.
I mean, there's coping. There's coping skills that I've always known, but right or wrong, have either not followed or not wanted to follow.
Well,
I'm following them more.
That's what I'm getting at.
Not necessarily, anger management, but anger management is part of it. Physical exercise is a huge stress relief. So physical exercise, not drinking, continued counseling, AA, coping mechanisms, Dr. Hinckley, Dr. Nikki, his assistant, who I've been trying for 6 months to get to go see, regardless of this court case. I still want counseling for my marital issues and the reassurance of alcohol counseling.
I have nothing for you.
Attorney Mill.
Okay, just a couple of questions. Who is currently in your household?
My wife and 4 children, a dog and a cat.
Is the dog the Siberian Husky?
Siberian Husky is. The cat breed of dogs.
So I just want to confirm, just without naming their names, can you just their ages and just ages, that's just so I can...
50, 21, 19, 19, 17.
Of the children, sorry. Start. Who is the oldest?
21, 19, 19, 17.
And that's a 20-year-old son or daughter? Or?
Boy, girl.
Okay. So let's just go back to the November incident. Which child was the
eldest?
The eldest. So the 21-year-old. And you were upset with him because he did not help with the pool cover?
Several issues, yes. Several.
Yes. Okay. Are you still frustrated about that?
My lack of drive in my 21-year-old? I don't know if frustrated is the word, but just disappointed, sad, maybe. Yeah.
Now, have you had any other incidents with your children and the police being called?
Other really than Tyler.
No, there it is.
Excuse me. That's, that just made up a name.
You can mention your kid's name. Yeah. It's your name that we're trying to keep confidential.
Other than him in those couple incidences that were recent, no. I did have, and the officer had mentioned that the
police officers have been to my house several times over the years. Yeah, because I have a type 1 diabetic daughter at the time was 12, is literally one of the most horrific things that I've ever seen a kid go through. Blamed diabetes on my wife and I, was horrific. I've been to court several times being accused of being a bad parent just for the diabetes, which was all nollied and thrown out. But, you know, today my kids are on, she's on, this particular child's on Dexcom now, her A1Cs are perfect. And, you know, I don't want to even mention the Juul and vaping issue that I had to go through for 4 years and COVID at the same time. So, I mean, life has been difficult the last 5 years, you know, with everything that happened. So I'm sorry for that.
No, that's fine, but
So what was your question?
A couple of questions. Have you, to your knowledge, or to your recollection, have any of your children called 911 or the police on you?
No.
Have your children ever locked themselves in a house, in their room, because they were afraid of you during drinking?
Not to my recollection. That would be a question really more, I mean, how would I know if they were hiding? I can't answer that question. I'm not going to speak for my children. It would be easy for me to say no to that.
When was the... So you mentioned that you've been trying to get into counseling for 6 months. What was the last date of a formal counseling?
Yesterday.
Yesterday with the...
Dr. Mike Kingfield.
Okay. Is that when you got the letter, or a letter?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Were you given a letter to present to this board today?
Yes, it's right there.
Okay.
I requested it yesterday after repeated phone calls to his... He's semi-retired. He's now writing a book, and he has somebody who's taking over for him. And her name's Nikki. And that particular therapist, I have not been able to get an appointment with, or be able to talk to, and to get this particular letter. But
and so, when was the last time that? Okay, prior to that, the counseling.
The counseling is ongoing. I have what's called like sober counseling. So it's because he is semi-retired, and right now it is very difficult to get counselors. But so I would say I talk to him every 2 to 3 months.
Okay, so it's more of an informal.
It's absolutely informal. Yes, okay. I've been out of quote unquote like weekly therapy for a little over a year.
Are you in any sort of professional? Or do you belong to any sort of AA chapters or any type of?
Yes, I go to AA.
Okay. And how often do you go to AA?
I don't particularly like AA because of the religious aspect of it. But I tend to go like now, like every month or month and a half. And if I don't go, I usually talk to the charter. The guy who runs it in Guilford, because we're friends, where our sons play football together. So I can have an AA meeting literally anytime I want to.
Just about the safes in the house, who has access to those safes?
Me.
Only you?
Only me.
Has that always been true?
Yes.
So you only?
Only me.
Okay. So when you contacted Attorney Jacober the next day, do you remember asking her about getting access to that safe?
I did, yes. Officer?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What was in that safe?
What was in the safe?
What was in that firearm safe?
Firearms.
Okay. Were you asking for anything else that was in that safe?
Whatever the contents of the safe were, I was asking for, yes.
Okay, were you asking for the cannabis that was inside that safe?
The cannabis that was inside of the safe, I wasn't asking for, but it was in there, yes.
Okay, how did the cannabis get in there?
I confiscated it from my son.
Okay. And then you put it in there?
Yes, I'm the one with the key. I said, yes, sir.
Are you on any sort of medication today?
No.
No, none?
None, except for Tylenol.
So, but you were prescribed in the past of certain medications?
Several, yes.
Okay. So you were prescribed, this is back in 2020, so help me just understand.
Mm-hmm.
The Tramadol, that was?
Tramadol is a pain relief, the pain relief for my arthritis.
Okay, that's from your arthritis.
And back then, I just had gotten, I got my right Achilles. I had a bone spur on my right foot. So I had prescribed Tramadol for the operation that I just had.
Okay. Did you drink regularly while taking that?
No, I don't drink. I don't drink and take narcotics at the same time.
So you were also prescribed back then clonazepam?
Clonazepam?
Yeah.
That's Xanax, I believe.
That's Clonopin.
That is Clonopin.
Okay.
I apologize
Then that would have been an old bottle. So my dad's a pediatrician, my mom's a nurse. I don't throw away things. I have bottles on that shelf that are 30 years old that my dad prescribed to me. So that being said, I mean, just because I have a bottle on the shelf that has a prescription on it doesn't mean it's either full or I'm taking them.
I guess I'm confused. What I'm trying to figure out is you have these medications that are prescribed for treatment of different mental health needs. You are no longer taking these? They're no
Correct.
Longer prescribed for
no,
you?
They're no longer prescribed and I'm no longer taking them. The only thing I'm taking is blood pressure medication and Tylenol.
And have you discussed this with a psychiatrist or
Yes,
anything?
And my
and
doctor.
They've
yes.
taken you off of it?
Yes. I haven't had a prescription for Xanax in over 2 years. And I only took it occasionally. If you check my prescription, the dosage and it was very, very low doses.
I have no further comment questions at this time.
Does the board have any questions?
Who is Dr. London?
Dr. London is a psychiatrist that I saw after the incident.
How many times did you see him and for what reasons?
I saw him once and it was to be evaluated for this.
So his letter of February 16th, 2021 references your having seen him on November 14th, 2020?
Yes.
Once.
It was a long time. It was a long time. Yes.
Why did you elect to see him then? One time.
Well, I elected to see him because I was also looking for an additional therapist because Dr. Hinckley was retiring, so I could not see. So when I saw Dr. London, he also did the evaluation. I asked for an evaluation for this day. And to also see if he was available to take on new patients because Dr. Hinckley was retiring. And I'm no longer seeing Dr. London because he can't see me, because he doesn't have the capacity.
So the one appointment you had with him in 2020 mm-hmm. was the only appointment that you had with him?
Well, I've known Dr. London for 20 years.
Right, but I'm asking in a professional capacity.
That's correct.
And at that time, you wanted to see him more regularly, but he
yes.
did not have the availability?
Yes, ma'am.
And when did Dr. Hinckley come into play as a therapist?
I believe he was my therapist. I'm sorry, this is going back quite a few years. I believe he was my therapist for like maybe a year before that. Because I was going to therapy because of the incidents that I had with my diabetic daughter and stuff like that. We were going to family therapy, you know, just to how to deal with the diabetic daughter and all of that. So I was going to regular therapy prior to this.
And what kind of a mental health professional is Dr. Hinckley?
I could Google him. I mean, he's a certified substance abuse. I'd have to Google him. I don't. Wonderful man.
What's his first name?
Michael Hinckley.
And where is he out of?
I never went to his office because back in COVID,
no, you don't,
we were Zooming.
You don't have to Google
him. I'm sorry.
You're to testify what
I'm
you know,
sorry.
Not what you look up at the hearing.
I don't know where he lives because we were Zooming that back then. It was always phone or on the computer.
The entire time, even the
yes.
appointments that you said?
Yes, ma'am,
the
because he's retired now.
Right, but you said you were seeing him prior to 11-7-2020 for
yeah.
family issues related to your daughter's diabetes.
Yes.
Those were not in-person sessions?
So, I apologize if I'm jumping around a little bit, but because I have had multiple therapists. I have another therapist, Chris, that was in that time period as well, and I might have jumbled the two together. I had another therapist before that, but I didn't really write down all the timelines of the different therapists that I've had. So if the dates are a little bit out of order, I apologize. Because now that I'm remembering it, I was seeing Chris, and that's another Guilford therapist, and then I went from Chris to Dr. Mike. So and it was in that COVID time period, back in like the 2020, somewhere like that.
And what kind of a professional is Chris?
He's a therapist, a clinical therapist.
Different levels of professional experience and competency.
I don't know his title. He's on Route 77 in Guilford across the street from Adams Middle School. He has his own therapy facility. I don't know Chris.
And you don't have any letters from any of those clinicians commenting on your mental health?
Well, I have one here, but I wasn't able to get it to the board in a timely manner because you semi-retired.
Is that the earlier document that's not on letterhead and not signed by
yes,
anybody?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, and he had mentioned, you know, my name is being misspelled. I would take it up with a retired gentleman, and he's a wonderful man, and the letter is legit.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Any other witnesses?
No.
Oh, Michael Hinckley. Michael F. Hinckley, drug and alcohol counselor, PhD, LMSW, LADC, Madison, Connecticut.
Chris Moriarty is the other one. Moriarty.
I'm shy.
So it doesn't sound like either of those individuals are either psychiatrists or clinical psychologists. It sounds like they have a counseling level licensure.
You said the Siberian Husky is still living with you?
Yes.
Is he still running rampant, going to the bathroom in the house?
I just had the hardwood floors replaced, 5,500 square feet, and he went to the bathroom on them twice before they were even refinished.
Any interest in getting your son out of the house?
Yes.
His dog?
But he has no money. I just got him his license. My mother just passed away. In January, so I'm in the process of giving him my mom's car. He's going to get his GED. He's been working with me, so I'm going back and forth to work with taking him to work at Bethany, so he's been working with me. But that's kind of hard because he is very forgetful and some of the electronics and stuff that I haven't worked on for me at my work, he can tend to mess up, so anyway.
I just keep hanging on you. You got your son his license, you got him this, you got him that. It seems like not only are your kids and your wife and your home situation a source of major anxiety or...
I don't know.
You're coming off as very anxious and overworked and you have too much on your plate.
That's because it's true.
Yeah, and it seems like you're continuing to bite off more than you can chew to make other people do things, whether it's your son or what have you. So you have an adult son with a husky tearing up your house for 3 years and it hasn't changed.
Because we love the dog and it's kind of hard to get rid of a husky. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
It's a beautiful dog.
Right.
But I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I tore out the carpets to put in hardwood floors to keep the dog, everyone loves the dog. We love the dog.
Yeah.
So I don't want my son to move out. That's, I wish he didn't have a touch of ADHD and he's a bit bipolar. He's been hospitalized as well.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem like much has changed since 2020.
Oh, a lot has changed. Absolutely, a lot has changed.
I know you've stopped drinking. I know you've lost weight. I know you're exercising, and there's a lot of health.
Both of my daughters are working now. Mm-hmm. In school. Next oldest, one of the twin sons, he's in college. He's doing great. And my oldest son, from doing nothing every single day, laying in his bed playing, computer games, me getting him his license, helping him get him. He didn't have any motivation to get a license. I mean, I had my license when I was 16. Mm-hmm. Here he is getting his license at 20, about six months ago. I had to almost force him to get a license to push him to get to get these things done. And he's doing all of those things. So things have gotten a lot better. He's working out. He doesn't hang out in his room all day long. He's got a car. He's driving himself to the gym. He's getting a job. He's getting his GED. They are helping me out somewhat more. So now my level of how hard I work and how hard my children work and how, whether or not they do enough in my eyes, they do enough in their eyes, but they don't do enough in my eyes.
Yeah, it just seems like there's a major source of dissatisfaction with five other people in your house.
Yeah.
Which I understand that perspective, but it seems to be giving you a lot of stress.
It's getting better.
Okay.
It's gotten better. It has. And time is only getting it there. Because one of the sons is moving out. Nathan's moving out because he's going to be going to college far mm-hmm. away, and my youngest daughter is going to college next year. So things are getting easier, but not as fast as I would like.
Right. Yeah. The plight of a parent. Any other questions by the board?
Okay.
Would you like to make a closing statement, Attorney Conway?
Sure. And there's been a lot of words, there's been a lot of chat, a lot of talk from the appellate, and on balance, I mean, that's who he is. I don't think it's a bad thing. He gives you the board a great deal of insight to him. You could have seen him 2.5 years ago when he was going through these issues, the November 7th issue and the December 13th issue, and then talking to him. I honestly did not recognize him when I saw him today. We've been in contact over the phone over the years. We talked. Not as much as we used to, but we do talk, and I check in with him to see how it's going with his sobriety, and he's doing well. I can honestly say I'm impressed with his effort. The difference between the appellant today and 2.5 years ago is his coping mechanisms, his coping strategies, his coping skills. Sure, he has a lot of the same issues present that he had 2.5 years ago, but what you see here is what you get with regard to dealing with it. 2.5 years ago, there was a lot of visible anger, a lot of visible frustration, a lot of ranting, angry ranting, and now it seems that he is much more philosophical and understanding, that even though things are haven't changed as fast as he wants. He has got the skills to deal with him better. He has been a lifelong firearm owner. The safes were locked. He did provide the key. He's cooperative in that respect. He's a hardworking, conscientious guy. He really is. And I think that on balance, I mean, listen, the guns have been returned. There have been no incidents that anyone could report. There's no evidence of any incidents since that date on December 13th, 2020. Anything that led to the appellant's arrest, anything that indicates that he had been drinking beyond that day. I mean, by his own admission, he did on Christmas Day, and that was the day where he had the epiphany with his son that he wanted to be present in his life. And being present meant no alcohol. And I remember talking to him during this period of time, and this is not evidence, but just sort of context, just I noticed the difference in him. Very enthusiastic about his sobriety, about his insight, about his coping skills, his coping strategies. I just would ask the members of the board to sort of lend context to what the individual, the appellant, was dealing with back then. He had no perspective. He's locked in the house with four people who were helping out. He's got a business to run. His alcohol intake was escalating, as it did for a lot of people during COVID. That's not okay. But he had a complete loss of perspective at that point in time. And to his credit, the board may find that he has hit it head on, that he's going to continue to maintain. He prefers who he is now to who he was then. And I think on that basis, I think it's well worth returning his permit to him. I'd ask you really seriously to consider the context and then look at the work that he's done in the interim and give him some credit for him by returning his permit.
Thank you, Council. Attorney Moon?
I am going to take the appellant's word that he is sober. I have no reason to deny that. However, and I hope that you remain sober, and I hope that works out well for your life. What I am very concerned about, and I don't think anything that the suitability was, nothing really dispels the concerns that the issuing authority really has at this point. The appellant, through his own testimony, really still seems to have significant stressors in his life, as well as significant, concerns about still the relationship in that household. We really heard a lot about his family life, but we really didn't hear in his frustration with his family, but we did not really hear, still really did not hear a whole lot of his either accountability or his, we've been hearing the coping strategies, but we did not hear what they actually were. There is no document or documentation presented before this board today of his actual kind of treatment or counseling. The only document that has been actually submitted to the board is a one-day evaluation of the appellant that didn't even address the alcohol issue, which, as an individual, is still going to be an issue that he will have to work through. Therefore, we respectfully request that the board uphold the issuing authority's revocation of the appellant's pistol permit at this time.
Do you counsel comments by the board?
I'm just gonna echo some of those. That's some things I was thinking of too. We heard a whole lot. I don't know if it was an hour or more.
Chief, could you speak up?
We heard a whole lot of, maybe it was an hour or more, about all the frustrations, all the thing causing the behavior. We heard very little admission of the behavior. Comments I wrote down, some cocktails didn't describe that. Clearly it was more than a couple drinks, it's not a question. Said something I shouldn't have, didn't explain what that was. We did get that from the issuing authority. In the absence of clarity from the appellant, I would like to have seen medical records from the emergency committal day, the intake, the description, what he said then, what his prescription was, or what the instructions were after. That would have been helpful. And I agree that the letter from Dr. London is wholly insufficient. It would have been better to have a letter from a treating provider, someone who knew him, and could say, listen, this is his history, that would have been great. The letter does not address alcoholism. It does not address firearms. In fact, it's addressed to the attorney, not to the appellant himself. So I'm just assuming the attorney asked for the letter. It was a letter written, well after the incident itself. doesn't mention the Board of Firearms Permit Examiners, doesn't mention, again, the pistol permit. So it's a big hurdle for me to get over not having the medical records and just relying on the testimony, which regarding the incident itself and the issue, the alcoholism, it was lacking, the testimony was lacking.
Other comments?
Just a point of clarification, I may have missed it in here. The firearms were surrendered or obtained by the local police department. Where are they now?
They're in the house.
Okay, they're in the house, they've been returned.
There were already a dozen firearms.
Okay, and he's just in lack of a pistol permit to carry.
That's why he can't pursue at the range, because he can't transport and break the law.
Other comments? Well, I certainly commend the appellant on his life changes, those are amazing. But within such a short span of time and the seriousness of what we heard about on the 2020 incident, and I would certainly take Attorney Conway's word for it, he's a different person than he was. Doesn't seem we've quite resolved what the coping mechanisms are yet. There still seems to be a lot of frustration at other people. I'd like to see more time pass. That's my comment. No other comments? Okay. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Just thinking about this, obviously you're doing very well in trying to cope with this unstable family situation and things are getting better, but clearly you're still agitated when you talk about the thing, and it strikes me that it may not be appropriate at this time to grant deny the revocation, so I'm voting for the issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad?
Issuing authority.
Chair votes issuing authority at this time. Thank you all.